Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To all our respected listeners, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all for His Mubarak Deen, and may Allah ta'ala enable us to understand Deen, and may Allah enable us with the strength to value this Mubarak month that is in front of us, and these Mubarak days that we are actually seeing through the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during these months would be, oh Allah, bless us in Rajab which has passed, and Sha'ban, and Allah enable us, give us the strength to reach Ramadan. May Allah ta'ala bless us all with that. My respected listeners, we were discussing the lives of the Sahaba, and to be more specific, Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Just to recap, so we all are on the same page, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made great qurbani, great sacrifice, and had worry for the whole of mankind. And amongst the areas that he made fikr in concern for the people's hidayah was Ta'if. For years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making dua for that area. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there 10 years after Nubuwa. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Urwa bin Mas'ud on the occasion of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. Then after the occasion of Fath Makkah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba went for the battle of Hunain. After Hunain, they went and they sieged the fortress of Ta'if, and the people of Ta'if fought back, and they didn't want anything to do with Deen. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. He made Mashura with Nawfal at daily, and he came to the conclusion that, okay, leave Ta'if. He went away, but he said, Allahumma hadi Thaqifan wa'ati bihim. Oh Allah, give hidayat to the people of Thaqif. Oh Allah, give them hidayat wa'ati bihim, and oh Allah, you bring them. Allah's Nabi made dua, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. He returned to Hunain, he returned to Makkah, and he returned to Madinah Munawwarah. Before Allah's Nabi entered Madinah Munawwarah, this man Urwa bin Mas'ud, who's our hero, who we're talking about, he comes to meet Allah's Nabi with regrets, remorse, that I really have done wrong in the past. I'm a leader in my area. I want to accept Islam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy, so happy. He accepted Islam, he changed his life, he learned Deen. And he saw the beauty of Deen, and he felt that I can't keep this for myself. How can I keep this Mubarak Deen only for me? I got such a people behind me. I want them to share in the khair. I want them to share in this barakah. He seeks permission from the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Nabi of Allah, I've seen Islam to be true. I've learned from you. Allow me to go to my people to invite them to Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but Urwa, your people I'm worried about. Your people are very hostile. I've experienced them. Urwa radiallahu anhu says, O Nabi of Allah, but they love me. They respect me. We learn from here, my respected listeners, how the Sahabi wanted to use his honor for the deen of Allah. He had position. He said, O Nabi of Allah, they love me, they respect me, they listen to me when I tell them. We should actually learn a great lesson here. When Allah has given us position, when Allah has given us authority, when Allah has given us ability, when Allah has given us capability, maybe you're the owner of your company, with respect, with kindness, with wise words, share the beauty of Deen to our employees without imposing on them. Share it with them. Now the position you have, you're using it for the Deen of Allah. The status you have, you're using it for the Deen of Allah. This is a great sacrifice. This is something Allah loves, amongst many beautiful qualities that we can also imbibe in our lives. He goes to his people. He greeted them. They came to welcome him because he is their leader, one of their senior leaders. And he started teaching them certain things, but they were very upset. They said, we like the old Urwa. We don't want this new Urwa. Anyway, then it was Salat time, he performed, he rendered the Adhan for Fajr. After that, he invited them to Allah. While he was calling to Allah on his balcony, he was killed. His people were so upset and distorted by this, they rallied, gathered, and they were rioting that now we're going to shed blood for Urwa. They were non-Muslim. Urwa sees the commotion, he stops them. Wait, wait. Why are you doing this? For you. This is what they did to you. We will take revenge for you. He said, I give charity of my life to the one who killed me. I hope Allah gives me the reward of martyrdom. And bury me with the Sahaba who were shaheed in the battle of Ta'if a few months ago. Bury me with them. May Allah Ta'ala give me shahada. Grant me the rewards of shahada. Allah's Nabi heard the Kar Guzari, the report of Urwa bin Mas'ud Saqafi, radiyallahu ala anhu, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مثل عروة مثل صاحب ياسين. His parable is like the man who Allah speaks about in Surah Yasin. And we requested last week, when we read Surah Yasin in the morning, ponder over the life of this man who went out of his way to tell his people about Allah and help the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala gave him such loftiness, such status. Quran speaks of him. This man made sacrifice. After that, after he accepted Islam, and then they assassinated him, Allah gave hidayat to his son, Abul Malih ibn Urwa. And there was another man from Taif also, Waqarib ibn al-Aswad. Qarib bin Aswad. So Qarib and Abul Malih now, they come to Medina, and they ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about Islam. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives them the da'wat, gives them the ta'lim. They accept Islam. They change their life. Now this commotion in Taif, what's happening? Everyone is changing their lives. Every town around us is changing their lives. It's only us. And then we killed our leader, our senior, who went for the truth. Come, we're making a delegation. They made a jamaat, a delegation of people from prominent tribes in Taif. And they made their Amir, Abdu Yalil ibn Amr. Now we should remember, Abdu Yalil is a famous senior in Taif. When Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Taif the first time, 10 years after Nubuwa, which is now approximately another 12 years ago, when they tortured him, when they hurt him, it was the same people who said, who are you that Allah had to choose you? And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was given a very, very harsh welcoming. He was treated very, very harshly. But the same Abdi Alil was made the Amir of this delegation. Two of them were chosen from the Ahlaf tribes. Ahlaf are also a group of six tribes, unified, senior tribes also of Taif. Abdu'l-Dar, Jumah, Makhzum, Adi, Ka'ab, Saham. They were the Ahlaf. And three from the Banu Malik tribe. These tribes got together. They chose to be on behalf of the entire Taif people. And now they undertake the journey to Medina Munawwara. They get to Qanat. And there they see Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala anhu grazing the flocks of the Sahaba, or the animals of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. When he sees this jamaat, this delegation from Taif coming, he rushes at the top of his pace to inform Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the people of Taif are coming, the people of Taif are coming. Because he knew Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would become most elated that these people who Allah's Nabi made dua for, who made effort for, who cried to Allah for, who forgave, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forgave them. These same people are coming. What joy it would bring to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he would see the fruit of his effort. Mughira is running at such speed. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu meets him. He tells Abu Bakr, yeah, I'm going to tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about this delegation coming from Taif. They're coming to accept Islam. They just have a couple of conditions. And they just want a letter. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, Mughira, wait. For Allah's sake, I ask you, let me inform Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. My respected listeners, one point to take note of. If there was nothing more beloved to Sahaba, there was nothing more beloved to Sahaba radiallahu anhum than to bring joy to the blessed countenance of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That brought most joy to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, to see that smile in his face. My respected listeners, Mughira radiallahu anhu is pining for that. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who is the senior, who is the best of all the Sahaba, he makes this request to Mughira, let me inform Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam of this. See the sacrifice in this. Mughira radiallahu anhu says, of course, Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes to inform Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learn from here that to sacrifice things beloved to us makes us closer to Allah Ta'ala. To give, whatever we give for Allah is good. But when we give things dear to us, that shows the love of Allah Ta'ala. And that brings the love of Allah Ta'ala. When we give and sacrifice those things and forgo those things for Allah's sake, which are beloved to us, for Allah's sake, when we forgo those things. Mughira bin Shu'bah didn't say, now okay, that cause of deen is finished, I'm going back to my work. Obviously we have to do our work, but see what he does now. He returns to the delegation. He welcomes them while they're entering Medina. And he assisted them in regards to their animals, you know, to take care of the animals, the pastures. And he said to them, before we go towards the masjid, we're coming towards the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to have a short ta'aleem with you all. Wa'allamahum. He wants to have ta'aleem with them. And they sat with him. What was his ta'aleem? He is teaching them now. When you meet the Nabi of Allah, what is the status of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How should you greet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? A great lesson we learn from here, my respected listeners. When someone carried out one task for deen, it doesn't mean the tasks that we can carry out for deen are finished. There's so many things more we can do for the deen of Allah ta'ala. Just fikr and concern and worry and drive behind it. So much of khair can be accomplished. Just yesterday, there's a school we have in Newcastle, Lincoln Heights. The brothers called me there that some teachers, Muslim teachers teaching at the school, made some fikr for a few years. They were worried. Our Muslim boys in the school, they're not making their dhuhr salah with Jamaat. The masjid is next door, but they're not going. And sometimes they're going and coming back, and there's a complaint from some teachers. So these Muslim teachers made fikr. They were worried. What to do? And what they did is they spoke to the principal. Principal is a non-Muslim, but they spoke to him politely that, you know, our school completes at 2:30. And at 11:15 is the signing time, you know, where they mark the register. Can we make the register time at 2:15? And then school can continue from 11:15, and 2:15 the Muslims can come and perform salah. He said, what about the facilities? The Muslim said that, okay, we raise this area of the school, some classes there, which is completely neglected, not used at all. We will completely refurbish it. And they even got ready to do other things for the school. They did quite a few services for the school, and they made this khidmah of the musalla. So they arranged new desks and a nice loudspeaker. And also they furbished this class with a carpet, with taps. And there was one section of toilets completely dilapidated, not even used at all because of the way it was completely neglected. And they completely refurbished that, removed the urinal, and cleaned it, and put a low pan. And then even the principal in the staff meeting said, there's no favoritism here. The Muslim teachers did this on their own. If anybody else wants to do it, they welcome at their own expense, and so forth. Then we had a program there yesterday for Dhuhr. What a beautiful environment. There was about 50 youngsters there for Dhuhr Salah. Every day they were doing their ta'aleem under the tree, you know, from the Fazail-e Amal. Alhamdulillah, lovely fikr. Now they got a musalla. Even non-Muslims are coming there to see. They welcome. Come, you can see what is it all about. Then the steam toilets are locked. If anybody else wants to use it, they give the key. But they just send a Muslim also just to explain that, please, no standing and urinating and so forth, some etiquette in that regard. What fikr can do, my respected listener? If we have concern, just to talk is easy. To talk is easy. But we have to do for Allah's deen. He goes back, he sits them down, he makes ta'aleem for them. Anyway, they arrive by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, they didn't greet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam correctly. They greeted with the greeting of paganism, even though they sat in the halaqah of ta'aleem. This is something we have to understand also. People who are new, we have to be tolerant. Even though Mughira bin Shu'bah taught them, they still didn't practice the first time. Because it takes time for beautiful practices, the practices of deen, to come into people's lives, especially when it comes to non-Muslims. Lot of tolerance, or new Muslims, lot of tolerance has to be taken. And they hadn't accepted Islam yet also. When they come to the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam welcomed them. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made special arrangements for them to stay in the masjid. It was actually just outside the masjid, in the sehn of the masjid, a tent was pitched for them, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made arrangements for them. The ajeeb part is, throughout their stay in Madinah Munawwarah, the khidmat of their food, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to arrange. وَكَانَتْ ضِيَافَتُهُمْ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took upon himself the expenses incurred throughout their stay in Madinah Munawwarah. And every day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come and sit by them and teach them and talk to them and explain to them. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would arrange meals and send it for them. Sometimes it was brought to them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. Sometimes, and then also when the meal was brought, they wanted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to eat first. Because actually they are new, so they worried now. Is there some trick against us? Is there some plan? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would eat and then they would partake of the meal. And then when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would send the meal with Khalid bin Sa'id bin As, radiallahu anhu, Khalid bin Sa'id bin As, radiallahu anhu, he was like a safir. He would come with messages from them to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent a message for them, sometimes he would come and sometimes he would also inform Khalid, okay, inform them this, give them the response, it's this. Even when he would bring the meal, they would say, Khalid, you eat first. That was while they were taking effect from the message of Islam. In the riwayat of Ahmad, Uthman bin Abil As reports that when the delegation came, Allah's Nabi فَأَنْزَلَهُمُ الْمَسْجِدَ لِيَكُونَ أَرَقَّ لِقُلُوبِهِ Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made it that the arrangements were made just in the sahn of the masjid لِيَكُونَ أَرَقَّ لِقُلُوبِهِمْ because when they see the environment of the masjid, that will soften their heart. لِيَكُونَ أَرَقَّ لِقُلُوبِهِمْ That will soften their heart. My respected listeners, the great lesson is this. The beauty of being in the masjid. We as Muslims, alhamdulillah, we have to try and be more and more in the masjid. We have to love to be in the masjid. The environment of the masjid, the ta'aleem in the masjid, the tilawat in the masjid, the amal in the masjid, the khidmat in the masjid, all these amal of hidayat, the beautiful environment of masjid. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan is around the corner. We should be so much in the masjid, and actually we should try and make it part and parcel of our life, that always coming to the masjid. There's a lot of barakat in coming to the masjid. Allah Ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Mathalu nurihi kamishkatin fiha misbah. Al misbahu fi zujajah. الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة إلى آخر الآيات. This is the ayat of nur. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the nur of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is the being who gives nur to the heavens and the earth. And Allah gives the parable of the nur of Allah. The parable of Allah's nur in the heart of the believer is like this niche that has a lamp inside, and then in the lamp there's a candle. And it's so bright, the olive oil is so bright, that when you place the olive oil there, it's already shining. That's the natural nur in every individual. And then when it's kindled, it becomes so bright, it darts off, it effulges, it spreads. And it has such brightness to it. That's the parable of the nur of the mu'min. Allah's nur that Allah places in the mu'min's heart. Naturally, he has that natural inclination there. And then when he has iman and ilm and Quran, that increases. Then the verse mentions about hidayah. يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ Allah Ta'ala guides to his nur whoever he wants to. Then Allah Ta'ala mentions, as the verse carries on, فِي بُيُوتٍ Where are we going to find this nur? Where are we going to find this hidayat? Where are we going to get this gift of hidayat, of guidance, of nur, the nur of hidayat? Allah says, فِي بُيُوتٍ Buyutin means in the houses of Allah. أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ Allah has commanded that masjid should be built. أَن تُرْفَعَ Allah has commanded that masjid should be respected, revered. أَن تُرْفَعَ And Allah's name should be taken in the masjid. أَن تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ Men, Allah refers to them as men. These men, they take Allah's name morning and evening in the house of Allah Ta'ala. They remember Allah Ta'ala. يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا means to remember Allah Ta'ala. يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا means to perform salah. And يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا means to explain Allah's purity, Allah's grandeur, Allah's might, how great Allah is. That da'wah of Allah's tanzih, Allah's purity and greatness is done by men of the masjid. رِجَالٌ These men who commerce and trade, do not keep them away from Allah Ta'ala's deen, from Allah Ta'ala's house, from a'mal of deen. So masjid has a great impact. Masjid is where we're going to get hidayat. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when a Muslim connects himself to masjid, whenever he comes to the masjid, because he comes to the masjid often, إِلَّا تَبَشْبَشَ اللَّهُ لَهُ كَمَا يَتَبَشْبَشُ أَهْلُ الْغَائِبِ بِغَائِبِهِمْ إِذَا قَدِمَ عَلَيْهِمْ Allah becomes happy with him. Allah becomes happy that this banda of mine is coming to the masjid. And the hadith says, just like when a person undertakes a lengthy journey to a far-off land, when he returns, what is the condition of joy of the family of this man who returns? In the same way, Allah becomes more happy when the servant of Allah comes to the house of Allah. Rasulullah said, the masjid have pigs. Inna lil masajidi utadan. The malaika are their companion. The malaika sit in their company. These pigs who do the amal in the masjid are like the pigs of a tent that keep the tent firm. Masjid is established through these amal. In ghabu yastaqilunahum. If these servants of Allah leave the masjid for any task, if they're not there, the malaika look for them. Wa in maridu aaduhum. Hadith says, if these people get ill, the malaika leave the masjid to go and visit them and make dua for their shifa. And if they had to leave the masjid to fulfill some errand, the malaika will come assist them. So their task that generally takes a long period of time is sorted out in a short span of time, and then they can return to the masjid. Allah Ta'ala make us amongst them. The hadith says, Man alif al masjid, alifahu Allah. He who loves the masjid, Allah loves him. So we have to connect ourselves to the masjid. We have to bring others to the masjid. Let's have this quality. Bring new people to the masjid. If a person is not acquainted with the masjid, bring him. Request him to remove his shoes respectfully. Give him a chair. Let him see what beautiful amal take place in the masjid. The Muslims have nothing to hide. They're worshipping Allah Ta'ala. This is why the people of Ta'if were kept in the masjid. We have discussed before how Thumama bin Uthal radiallahu anhu was kept in the masjid for 3 days, and how that had a great impact on his life, and that's what made him accept Islam. So they stayed in the masjid. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit them every day, used to come sit by them. Obviously they were by him in the masjid every day, but every day he used to come by them and sit by them. There's one report in Ahmad, in Abu Dawud, in Ibn Majah. Aus bin Hurayfa radiallahu anhu says that when we were in this delegation, we were staying in the masjid, and few of the brothers stayed with Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu. So every night Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come to sit by us after Isha, and he used to talk to us. Yuhadithuna qa'iman ala rijlay. Sometimes there were quite a few of us, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand and he would explain matters of deen for us. Sometimes he would talk to us for a long while, and sometimes he spoke to us so long and we were so interested, so he never used to leave us, that he would get tired, so that he would stand on one foot and then rest on the other foot and then change his feet. Hatta yurawih abayna rijlay. He would take turns on his feet to recline on one and then the other to make it easy for him, because he saw our interest. فَأَكْثَرُ مَا يُحَدِّثُنَا مَا لَقِيَ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. And what he used to speak about most is about his life and how he spent his life. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would he explained to us what happened when he came to Medina, what happened in Makkah, and how Allah Ta'ala's help came, and how what happened in Badr, what happened in Uhud. نُدَالُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَيُدَالُونَ عَلَيْنَا. So Aws radiallahu anhu says, we were so interested in the discussions with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially for us, he used to come by us and have these programs and these ta'aleems. He never tell us that he's coming at that time, but every day he used to come. One night he came much later than his normal time. When he came, we said, O Nabi of Allah, we were waiting, we were so interested, we wanted to hear you. لَقَدْ أَطْبَعْتَ عَلَيْنَا اللَّيْلَةِ. This night you came much later. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I hadn't completed my tilawat of the Quran that I must read every day. I wanted to complete that, and then I was definitely coming. We learn one great lesson here. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't tell them I'm coming at that time. He used to come at certain times, so they expected him to come at that time. Not that he said I'm coming at that time and I'm not coming at that time. Another lesson we learn from, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a man of his word. He never ever went against his word, against his appointments, against his agreements. Another lesson we learn is the importance of infiradi, amal also. Just like when we do actions collectively, it's very important. And likewise, our actions that we do individually to remember Allah Ta'ala, a dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, and make tilawat of the Quran, we must complete it every day. We have the opportunity, Ramadan is coming, every day we must take our time to remember Allah Ta'ala, to take the name of Allah Ta'ala, to make tilawat of the Quran Kareem. Every day we should take our time for this. So Allah's Nabi said, I was completing my tilawat, So this was how they spent their time in Medina Munawwara. And obviously this had a great impact on them. And then among the discussions was they wanted to accept Islam. But because they were new, they said, there's few things we can't accept. لا يحشر ولا يعشر ولا يجب. That please, don't, when you're sending out the people in Allah's path here and there to do tasks for Allah's deen, that you mustn't send us to do. Another thing is, zakat we don't want to give. ولا يعشر. The third thing they said is, okay, we're accepting Islam, but namaz. We feel we don't want to make namaz. Obviously, this was not the whole delegation. This was a couple who say, no, we don't want to make namaz. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, that okay, zakat we won't ask you all now. We won't send you all here and there for Allah's deen. But namaz, how can they be khair without namaz? And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the other sahaba, because they mustn't get worried, hey, is there no zakat, is there no jihad? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, تَتَصَدَّقُونَ وَيُجَاهِدُونَ إِذَا أَسْلَمُوا. The hadith is sahih. Don't worry. Once they come into Islam, they themselves going to want to give in the path of Allah. Once they come into deen, they themselves going to want to strive in the path of Allah. What we learn from here, my respected listeners, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his beautiful akhlaq. These people are new. We're going to impose everything on them at first. What will happen to them? Then they will leave the whole deen. Like this, bring them into deen, and step by step we will teach them all the laws of Allah Ta'ala. Certain things that they are not ready to accept today, tomorrow they will accept it. But keep on bringing them to the to salah, to the masjid, to the amal. As the level of iman will increase, if the order of Allah Ta'ala will become easy. There's an amazing incident in the time of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh. There was one new brother who accepted Islam. You know, he came to the Khanqah, and he was spending time benefiting from the environment. But a few days later, the man disappeared, and Hazrat didn't see him. So he asked the murid, but where's this brother? He said, Hazrat, you know, he found it difficult to fast, and he ran away. So Hazrat said, did you all force him? You know, there was some answer to the affirmative. He said, that he explained the laws of Allah's deen, but don't force it on him. He just accepted Iman. He just accepted Islam. Now when we're imposing everything, he lost the most important fundamental, which is Islam, which is Kalima, which is Iman. So obviously we don't hide the deen of Allah Ta'ala, but we teach people slowly, step by step, wisely. And once the iman becomes strong, every order of Allah Ta'ala will become so easy for them to obey and abide by. So they spent their time in Medina Munawwara. And then Abdi Ali came to speak to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that, you know what, certain things also we're not happy with. You know, we travel a lot. Why is it that we have to stay away from zina and adultery? Some of us, when we go far away, We need this legal for us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has prohibited it. Allah says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَلَا تَقْرَمُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Allah says, don't go near zina. It is complete, you know, sin. And it is the incorrect for us. So few things you ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this. What about usury? You know, most of our wealth is usury. This is what our deal is. This is how we deal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, explain to him. You know, this is not permissible. But explain. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullaha wa dharu ma baqiya min al-riba in kuntum mu'mineen. Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him. Then he asked for the legalization of liquor and khamar. He asked these questions to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That this is the juice that we drink. We have vineyards. Ba'if was known for its vineyards, for its grapes, the best. We have to have it. Allah's Nabi explained that Allah has prohibited it. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu innama al-khamru wal-maisiru wal-ansabu wal-azlamu rijsum min amali shaytani fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. So Abdul Yalil is telling his friends, hey, how are we going to tell our people these three things here? They're never going to leave liquor, nor are they going to leave adultery. Now are they going to leave usually? How are we going to accept all these laws? So Sufyan bin Abdullah said to Abdi Ali, wait. You know, when Allah wants good for them, Allah will give them the strength to tolerate and stay away from these wrongs. Oh Abdi Ali and oh my people, all the people in Medina, yeah, they used to also perpetrate adultery, liquor, consume intoxicants, and utilize usury. But look at them today, how good they have become. how pure their lives have become, how beautiful their deed is. The only way is Islam. The only way is Islam. Even Makkah, deen has spread in Makkah. Even in Makkah, Meccans are practicing this. So they themselves amongst each other, they say, hey, yes, we can do it. Others have done it. Others have practiced it. It's possible. So this is what happened there in Taif. One amazing incident did happen was there was a youngster in this delegation. He was the youngest of the whole Jamaat, the whole delegation, the whole group. His name was Uthman bin Abil As. Uthman bin Abil As. He used to come and visit Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam personally every day. Every day. What used to happen was, when the delegation used to have their ta'aleem, their amal, this youngster used to take care of their livestock, of their animals, see to it that the animals are eating, and do some chores for them, because he was the youngest. And when they had to return after they had had the ta'aleem, and it was very hot at that time, when they had come back, he used to, when they were resting, alu bil hajira, they were resting in the afternoon, in the noon when it was very hot, forenoon, he would then go to Rasulullah sallallahu and ask about deen, ask about the Quran. Allahu Akbar. There's so many lessons in this, my respected lesson. They wanted him to do their khidmat, Uthman bin Abil As. So he did their khidmat. When they came back from the ta'aleem, he on his full capacity now, didn't rest. He was making khidmat all along. But now when they came back, the animals are safe, you know, it won't run away. And now he goes to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and daily this was his routine. Until he learned so much of deen, hatta faqaha fi deen wa alima. He learned so much of matters in regards to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And sometimes Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting. He never used to give up. He used to go to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's house. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to teach. And this made Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very, very happy. فَأَعْجَبَ ذَلِكَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got very happy with this youngster. But look at his talab, look at his desire to learn the deen of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't tell him, hey, I just sat with your people now, I'm going to sit with you again. No. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam availed himself for people to learn the deen of Allah. To learn the deen of Allah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to sit and teach him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit and teach him. This youngster from Taif. And he never used to tell his people where he's going to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise they will say, no, you don't have to go, we already said they will tell you. He wanted to learn from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. This was Uthman bin Abil As radiallahu anhu. And finally, when the delegation was returning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Uthman and said, oh Uthman, you will be the Imam of Salat, you will be the Imam. And oh Uthman, this is where you must build the masjid, and this is how you must do it, and this is how the Adhan takes place. Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him everything, and he was the Imam of Taif, Uthman bin Abil As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now this delegation asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, what about the idols? We can't destroy our idols. Keep our idols. Rabbah was the name of the idol. So let's keep it in our area. We don't want to destroy that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how can you have idols when Islam is to worship one Allah? And Umar radiyallahu anhu got upset. He's telling him, Abdi Alil, what is wrong with you? This is a stone. He doesn't even know who's worshipping it from those who's not. Abdi Alil says, Umar, we never come to you. Anyway, they accepted Islam. And they were ready. Then they spoke to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, O Nabi of Allah, we won't worship the idol Rabbah. But for 3 years, just leave it in our area. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. They said, okay, 2 years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused. He said, okay, 1 year, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused. They said, okay, 1 month. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, I'm not leaving it for any period of time. But they said, we won't be able to remove the idol. All the people will turn against us. Yes, they might accept it. They will accept Islam. But they won't want to remove the idol. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, you all won't have to remove it. I will send my Sahaba, radiallahu anhu. And few other things they asked, as we said, they asked for being absorbed of the responsibility of Salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you have to make your Salah. Where's the khair if there's no Salah? And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sahaba radiallahu anhum there. These men stayed in Madinah Munawwara for 15 days. And then they returned. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Ikram with them. And afterwards Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a group of Sahaba, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, Abu Sufyan bin Harb radiallahu anhu. And as the delegation was leaving, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent his Jamaat of Sahaba to this area. When they got there, they were making fikr now, how are we going to remove this idol? And now the news spread in Taif. After everyone received the message from the delegation of Taif that we all accepting Islam and this is what Islam is all about and so forth, So they all agreed. But then they hear that this delegation has come now to remove the idol. And now the whole of Taif rallied now. They rallied to see what's going to happen to this idol. They worried. They're scared. How can the idol be destroyed? Anyway, Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, he liked to, you know, he liked humor many a time. Very humorous person, Sahabi radiallahu anhu. So he said to his companions, I want to give you all a nice laugh, you know. So he went there. Everyone is looking in worry. And he goes with the axe. And he is about to strike this Rabba, this idol of theirs. And he acts like he falls down and he starts kicking one way, kicking, like, you know, in the air. And he made as though he fell down. So the whole of Taif is now in a rumble and a commotion. They say, yes, Mughira is cursed now because the idol is going to kill him. And they all were like a little bit joyous. He gets up and he's telling them, you know, and actually they are saying, yeah, see, you can't destroy our idol. Our idol is too pompous. Mughira bin Shu'bah gets up on his feet and he says, hey, look at you, you still haven't understood. This is just stone. This is just clay. You know? So they all understood that he was making a joke and he finished off the idol. When Mughira radiallahu anhu, you know, finished the idol, the caretaker of the idol was there. He was also worried. You know, what's happening to this idol? Because obviously he's getting his money and so forth through that. And he stood on this coal. And actually, you know, he was not standing on coal, sorry, it's Arabic phrase. He was in worry and astonishment that was going to happen. And they dug up all under the idol. And there was a lot of gold and silver and whatever they had placed there. All was taken out, all of that. And alhamdulillah, that ended off idol worship in Taif. Alhamdulillah. And then this delegation came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very happy. And this is how Islam spread in Taif. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, build the masjid there in Taif, in the main central area of Taif. Exactly where the idol was, now there's no more idol worship there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, construct the masjid there. And then amazingly, how much of deen and how much of Islam spread in Taif. Even when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, the people of Taif were firm in deen. They were firm in deen. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for them. Allah ta'ala, wallah, you give them hidayat and you bring them. So years after that also, the people of Taif were the people who took Islam to so many countries in the world. So many people of Taif who Allah used to take Islam to Bukhara, to Samarkand, to Uzbekistan, to the lands beyond the river, the Tigris and the Euphrates, to take Islam to India, to take Islam to Khurasan, to keep Islam strong in Kufa and Basra. The people of Taif were used. One great person from Taif was Muhammad bin Qasim. Muhammad bin Qasim Thaqafi. He brought Islam to India. What qurbani, what sacrifice he made there. If India knew nothing about Islam. He was the first man to bring Islam to India in those early stages. It was 90 years approximately after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people of Taif took Islam there. We are all indebted to this, my respectedness. It was under a ruler from the Thaqif tribe, Hajjaj bin Yusuf. He sent people to take Islam to different regions. He was from Taif. And all his people he sent under him, mainly he used to send people from Taif. And all his generals who used to take Islam to different regions, Qutaybah bin Muslim Bahili, Abdurrahman bin Muhammad bin Ash'ath, all were under this man from Taif. Through him, Islam was taken and Allah's name was uplifted in all these far off regions around the world. And who was used? The people of Taif were used, my respected listeners. My respected elders. So what qurbani, what sacrifice Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. Allah give us tawfiq to understand the beautiful lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And may Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to appreciate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's effort. And may Allah make us also, may Allah ta'ala through His mercy make us also a means of mankind's hidayah, of bringing people to Allah's deen, of showing people the beauty of our deen through our akhlaq, through our of honest dealings, through our honest dealings and through our wise words. All three is important. Akhlaq is very important. Honesty is important in our dealings, not to do anybody down. And also wisely, you know, politely, lovingly explain the beauty of Islam, the beauty of Allah Ta'ala's way, the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way. May Allah Ta'ala give us the strength to do that, inshallah. That it goes to all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, especially Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhum, because we completed the discussion of his life, inshallah, and then we'll continue with some other Sahaba radiallahu anhum. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.